Worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm
on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon. I'm Jaron Vecchio, and joining me over the phone is George McWiggin, who is the superintendent of the Fort McMurray Catholic School District. George, thank you so much for joining me over the phone.
Thanks for having me, Jaron. It's always great to have a chat with you.
So this episode is definitely a little special, as back to school happening next week. And it's going to be a little different from years past for the Catholic as well as the public school district division, as you guys have are going to be doing a staggered entry for the first week. Can you kind of explain to our listeners and the parents just what that means and what they can expect for the first day of school?
Sure. I mean, I think we all know, as you're saying, Jaron, that this is the start of a school year like no other for us and for Fort McMurray Public as well. So one of the things that certainly both school divisions try to do, we try to work as close together as we possibly can with common areas that are good for the entire community. And this is one, the staggered entry. We just looked at our calendar for the year and recognized that we're in before the Labor Day weekend, so on our calendar there are 4 days next week: Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday was Professional Learning Day for teachers. So we thought, with all we have to do to get prepared, to review new protocols, practice new protocols, not just from our staff, but from our students, and to alleviate fears and anxieties certainly that are out there that are understandable. We've set up a system, both school divisions set up a system where 25% or just smaller numbers of the students are going to be in one day during that week, and they're going to spend the whole entire day reviewing all the new protocols, practicing all the different things that need to happen, taking them through different schedules if it's at a high school end of things. So this will help, I think, give us lots of time in a more relaxed atmosphere to go through everything, and we believe that that's going to alleviate quite a bit of stress for everyone involved, because our number one priority, obviously, is we're excited to have our children back in school, but we also want to make sure we take the time we need to make it smooth, make the transition easy, and have everything go as well as we possibly can. So that's why we're doing it. And then the first full day of school for everybody will be then after the Labor Day weekend on the Tuesday, September 8th. And okay. Our staggered entry, we always have that in place for our EAP and Kinder students anyway, so nothing changes there, and they'll be contacted and they'll do as per normal.
Do you believe that this one day is enough time for students to really grasp all these different measures that are going to be in place due to the virus?
Will it be as a one day? It's going to be a very good, strong, focused introduction. But no, Jaron, one day will not suffice. This is something that we'll be practicing throughout the entire school year with reminders. In any good teaching, when a teacher's in the classroom and you're teaching, you always build into your learning schedule reviews. It's a common occurrence in curriculum. You go back and you review materials every so often, and we'll be doing that on a regular basis in the classroom, on announcements, etc. So to make sure that we keep it front of mind for everybody, it's going to require constant reminders, not just from ourselves in the school, but parents at home with their children, community at large. We always have to keep the conversation going and keep reminding people so that that's when you're able to develop the habit.
Mm-hmm. I know we've had quite a few stories just ourselves about a lot of the measures that yourself and the public school division are implementing to help limit the spread of the virus. Again, can you just kind of share maybe some of these different protocols for parents, maybe help ease a little bit of anxiety, because I'm sure there are a few parents out there who are probably still a little nervous about sending their kids to school.
Sure. I mean, on our website, we've developed our relaunch guide. It's a document that we've been working on, I think, probably since April or May, and just trying to put it together and waiting for the education minister and government to kind of put out their protocols and the decision on to reopen schools. So that, I mean, it's important that parents look at that document. We update it regularly. It's a living, breathing document. It changes as we move forward. So we're into scenario one where our schools are all open and increased protocols are in the schools, hand sanitizers, markings in the schools, guidelines for students inside the classrooms, social distancing where possible, staggering and changing the recesses, making sure that cohorts and lunch times, etc., are following. And probably the biggest one for us too is the wearing of masks required for everyone in grades 4 to 12. We're strongly encouraging that our younger students in kindergarten up to grade 3 that the use of masks as well. But in that area, we're going to use that as a learning process for our little ones and practice those things in different little circumstances on a very gradual basis. And use that. I mean, however, our little ones who are riding the buses, they still have to wear a mask as well. So all our transportation providers, that's a requirement and mandatory that masks are worn. And parents and everybody have to do the daily screening checklist to make sure you're well and coming into school. We're limiting visitors, any visitors coming into the school, et cetera, by appointment only. So we're doing all the necessary things that we can possibly do to make sure things are safe, and all these things are in documents, and we continually put in any new information that we get from Alberta Education and new documents. So I strongly encourage parents to go on our website, look at those documents, and continue to read them. We continue to update them, and now that schools are open as well, Our principals and administrative and staff in the schools are connecting with their parents directly and working with them too. So it's a process that we'll continue to work with, and I wouldn't be surprised and that once we have the protocols and things in place that we're doing in each school, because each school is different and unique, they may have some different things that they're doing for their situation, and I quite expect that after they do things for a few days, the schools and the staff and that will look at them and say, you know what, that's not really working out too well. We need to change this. So I think you're going to see something that evolves and changes, and to meet the best possible scenario that we can for the students in the school. So I believe we're ready. We're ready as we certainly can be, and we're looking forward to getting the learning going. Vast majority of our teachers, in talking with them, are excited to have their children back. Vast majority of our parents, have their students, children enrolled in school and want their kids in school. So, and we have a percentage who are doing our virtual learning program, which is great for them, that for a variety of reasons, they feel they need to do so, and that's excellent as well. So, I think we're as ready as we're going to be. And we'll make changes as we move forward, because I think we're all learning our way forward.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with George McGuigan, superintendent of the Fort McMurray Catholic School District.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.6. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is George McGuigan, who is the superintendent of the Fort McMurray Catholic School District. And we're talking about going back to school, as there will be a staggered re-entry for schools in both the Catholic and public districts starting next week. So if you're looking for more information about that, all you have to do is head to the Mix News page. And George, there's one thing I want to touch on that you mentioned in our previous segment, is that, you know, you guys are ready, you're excited to have the students back, and you outlined quite a few measures you guys are taking. And there's a lot of measures, but, you know, it's impossible that we're going to, you know, get rid of all the risk. There's still going to be a little bit of a risk of the staff and students potentially getting the virus. Do you believe personally this was the right choice to return to in-class teaching? Or did you maybe think that maybe, you know, online classes was maybe something we should maybe extended?
No, I think it is time. We need to get our children back to school. We don't know. Nobody knows how long this is going to go on. And the longer that the students are out of school, virtual learning can work certainly, and it will work for some students. But for lots of families, that's not a possibility. And the longer we keep students out of school and away from that face-to-face contact, that's going to have a long-term impact on their education and their learning. So I really believe we do need to have our students back in school with us. It's important. It's important for us to get the learning, get that learning going again. And I believe that's the thing we need to do. And our we're as human beings, our DNA is built to as social beings, and that's a key part of education that you can't. It's not just teaching and curriculum; it's being with other people. And as human beings, that's what we're called to be. And the longer we keep that out, that's going to have impacts down the road. So we people are starving to be able to be with other people, right? And we need to, that's an important part of education, that we need to make sure that we get going again, and certainly under the safest conditions possible, but we definitely need to get rolling.
Understandably, some families are still not fully comfortable sending their children to school, and I know that the Catholic District has offered, you know, a virtual learning academy for some of the older students. I know we've had a previous talk about this, and you were saying that you believe that the younger students would do better for their education to, you know, go to school, but some of the older students are able to continue, you know, their education online. Do we know how many students are taking advantage of this?
Originally we weren't for sure what that would look like, first of all, overall for us, we believe the best place for education for our children is to be in school. That's the top of the norm for the quality of education. And secondly, then, is our virtual learning program that we put in place. We've got, and it's really the majority of our enrollments are coming in at the elementary level, more so than at the secondary level. So we have about 260 of our students, our families are choosing the virtual learning program, with the vast majority being at elementary, from our kindergarten up to probably grade 5. Starts to taper off at 6, and then even more so when we get into 7 to 9, 10 to 12. And that's understandable. At the younger grades, parents are concerned. Some parents are concerned, and for a variety of reasons. So they choose that option, and it's good. We're staffing it. We're busy staffing it, and making sure we can get the teachers in place for it. And as the students get older, obviously the curriculum gets more complex too. So parents see, once they get older, really for them to be able to be assisting with curriculum. For someone to be taking a Physics 20 class, for example, it's pretty tough to do it on your own. They see the students when they're that age too. They're more independent and they're able to go to school and do that. And it's a key component, like I said, about the socialization that's required. So we got about 260 out of our population. So our estimate, we had about 7,000 students in our system. So we're running at about probably 3% or so, give or take, who are choosing the virtual learning out of our student population. So that tells us that the vast majority are bringing their students back to school, and we're getting prepared for them. But we're also recognizing and respectful of our parents that are choosing the virtual learning and making sure we look after them too, because that's what we're called to do.
For sure. Well, before we take our last break here, George, going back to in-class teaching, and again, when you were talking about some of the measures that your schools are taking, the one thing that you really highlighted were masks. They're going to be mandatory for students in grades 4 to 12 and staff in all common areas. We heard yesterday the RMWB and both school districts have announced that students in grades 4 to 12 must wear a mask on public transit. We've also heard from the province that in a classroom, if social distancing is followed, they could potentially take off the mask. I know each school is unique, but are the majority of schools maybe able to, you know, fully physical distance in classes? I know there's been some concerns that maybe, you know, the numbers are just a little too big for it.
In some areas where classrooms are larger, I mean, going around and checking the classrooms, we've taken a lot of excess materials out, which is enabling us to space out the classrooms more to fully socially distance in some areas in our high school settings, probably in some larger classes. Not to the measure that I think would be wanted. But the fact is, the masks are a key component. Whenever anybody is out in the hallways, as soon as they enter the school in those high traffic areas, masks need to be on. That's why we're very pleased to see and work with the municipality to make sure that they're mandatory in the transit, because our high school students, our students, we use transit as a major provider, and those transits going to school have quite a few students on them. So we're pleased that that's there, especially with our spokesman for our yellow bus as well. But once they're in the classroom, one of the key things is that we're learning is that if the students are sitting at their desk, they're working quietly, they're not in groups and discussing things with people, then there's really no need for them to wear the mask. You can take the mask off. But if you start to do group activities or they're turning and starting to work with people, then the mask should be on. If they get up and leave their desk, then they need to kind of put their mask on. Same with the teacher. The teacher's at the front of the room, and they're socially distancing from the students themselves, and they're teaching, and they're away from them. They can take their mask off as well. But as soon as the teacher starts to go around to students at their desk and helping them with work and things like that, which is normal in a school classroom setting, then they'll need to put their mask on. Now, it obviously, students and the teacher, if they so desire, they can leave their mask on in the classroom if they want to as well. It's not a requirement that they take them off. They're more than welcome to leave them on. And I think I really believe that our youth are the ones that are going to lead the example for the adults in the importance of wearing masks when you're out in public.
Well, we're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to finish our talk with George McWiggin, superintendent of the Fort McMurray Catholic School District.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.6. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is George McGuigan, Superintendent of the Fort McMurray Catholic School District. And we're talking about back to school with a staggered reentry happening for both the Catholic and public divisions next week. And if you're looking for more information about that, all you have to do is head to the Mix news page. And George, we have just a little bit of time left, and mental health, it's a topic that I don't think is getting enough attention right now, especially here in Fort McMurray, as yes, we are dealing with the pandemic just like the rest of the world, but we also had a devastating flood as well, which impacted a couple schools across the community, including Father Turcotte. And I guess, what kind of mental health supports are going to be available for students and staff this year? Is there going to be any changes because of COVID? What can people expect?
Sure. I mean, just to back that up, Jaron, from what you're saying, you know, let's take it back to 2016. I mean, what a community we live in and have been living in. Talk about being able to be resilient and tough. That's who Fort McMurray residents are. When you go back to the wildfire 2016, since that time, we've increased our mental health resources in the schools and training with teachers, additional counselors, mental health therapists, etc., and working with the community agencies. We've put in place since 2016. We've applied for more grants, so we've increased again our counseling, etc. So we get hit with that, and we're getting ourselves back on our feet, and then we get hit with the flood, and that set us back. And the one thing in this whole scenario that people kind of maybe are forgetting a little bit about is that our economy was not very good before the wildfire. Mm-hmm. So we were already in a tough state, and families were in a tough state. Maybe one of the family members had lost their job, and times are tough, and so that creates a lot of mental stress on families as well. So you have to put all three of those things together, and then you add in the pandemic on top of that now. So it's creating quite a time of stress for all of us in this community. But the one thing that I think I'm proud of this community as our home is we always seem to rally together and help each other out when times get tough. And we've been able to increase our resources. This week, we've got training sessions going on with our teachers on mental health supports and how to support the children in the classroom when they return to school and connecting with families and having meetings with families, etc. Like I said, as well, we've increased our human resource supports with mental health therapists, additional counselors, and things like that. So it's a focus for us, and I think it's been a focus for us for a while. So I think we may have a jump in that perhaps to other school divisions that are really looking at that now just because of the pandemic, mm-hmm. where we have had it as a focus since before the wildfire with our economy in the tank, then the wildfire, then the flood, then the pandemic. So I think we're in good shape there, and we'll continue to use those resources to the best of our ability.
All right. Well, George, that's pretty much all the time we have left. But before we go, obviously school is restarting next week. So I guess, is there a message you have for students and maybe the community before everything gets started?
Sure. My one message, I think, is for... This is a community that's together, and I'm strongly encouraging the community members, when you're out in public, in grocery stores or businesses, whatever, put your mask on when you go in. Please. We have our students in the education system are now going to be wearing masks when they're in school, etc. On transit, there's going to be adults on the transit. Wear your mask. It's the single most important thing we can all do together, and it's very easy. And that's what I said earlier. I really believe that our youth are going to teach the adults the importance of wearing the masks and be the example and model for all of us. So So please, everybody, wear the mask when you're out in public. It's a simple thing to do so we protect everybody. We're grateful in this community because we've got low incidence. Let's keep it that way.
Once again, that was George McGuigan, superintendent of the Fort McMurray Catholic School District. Now, on Friday, we're going to be hearing from Jennifer Turner, superintendent of the Fort McMurray Public School Division. But that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode?
Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.